I'm Kim Singletary.
And I'm Rich Collins.
And you're listening to Biz Talks,
a weekly conversation with local business leaders about topics affecting New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Rich Collins. A new report from Gary Wagner, an economist at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, shows that the state has experienced its biggest job growth in nearly 20 years. Here to discuss his findings is Dr. Wagner himself. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So can you share what the Louisiana Economic Activity Forecast tells us about the state's recent job gains?
Sure. So let me give you just a quick background on the report. I've been doing it for about 4 years now. It's a quarterly report that's available to the public free of charge. I saw a need coming out of COVID that perhaps businesses could use some guidance as to where we thought the economy was going to be heading, which is why I started producing the report. I think it's got several hundred subscribers now. So what I try to do with every report is just provide some context to numbers that you're seeing. And so when I'm looking at job growth statewide, I'm looking at unemployment statewide, I'm looking at home prices statewide, and I'm looking at job growth and home prices in all the state's metropolitan statistical areas. So there are nine what are called MSAs in the state, which are collections of parishes, right? The Baton Rouge region, the New Orleans region. And I noticed the job growth statewide had been really strong over the last 12 months. In fact, we gained almost 40,000 jobs over the last year. And I had been looking at the report for the data for the last 4 years. And I thought, that's a big number. I wonder how long it's been since we've seen a number that big. And then I just looked at the historical data and I realized we hadn't seen a year of job growth that big in the state. You'd have to go back to 1996, 1997.
I don't know the context. What was happening back in the mid late 90s that caused that growth?
Nationally, I think we saw one of the best periods of high growth that we saw in the US without inflation was in the 90s. And I think a lot of that was due to businesses really figuring out how to use computers for the first time and integrating that into the workforce.
Interesting.
So, this time I think is a little bit different, but I think what was also very positive in terms of the report was that the job growth was pretty strong all throughout the state. I mean, there was kind of one area, the Houma-Thibodaux region, that job growth has been weak, but it's been weak since one of the hurricanes from a year or two ago, and they've really been struggling. But
is that because of oil and gas, or is that because of the other ancillary businesses that are just still struggling to recover after getting walloped?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, the oil and gas industry is kind of the one major sector statewide that hasn't really bounced back much post-COVID. So there, other sectors have gained some jobs back. That industry is lagging behind a little bit. But as far as the numbers statewide, I mean, one of the things that really jumped out too is two-thirds of that job growth, those 40,000 jobs, occurred in Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
Right.
So, right, those two metro areas are really kind of driving the state right now.
Right. And we'll talk a minute about the different sectors of job growth, because I noticed Baton Rouge was really booming in one of those. So can you just talk about the methodology, how you put this together? I know that you cite the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics report, and I saw in another media report that some of your numbers maybe are a little rosier than another way of looking at this. Can you just sort of talk about your methodology and how it might account for that?
Yeah. So in the report, there's the government agency called the Bureau of Labor Statistics collects data on payroll jobs. So they're looking down at a metro area and they're basically surveying employers and they say, how many people are on your payroll? So that's kind of the major measure of employment that we use. As part of my report, what I do is I take the historical data. Those data are available at a metro area going back to 1990. So there's a pretty long history.
Right.
And so I use the historical data and then what's happening nationally to make projections 1 year ahead. So every quarter, I make a projection for the New Orleans metro area and say, here's what I think is going to happen over the next 12 months. So the 40,000 job gains were not they're not a projection. That was actually what the Bureau of Labor Statistics said. So I'm projecting that we're going to gain an additional 25,000 jobs roughly over the next 12 months, but that's just a projection.
Right. Now, we talked a little bit about the job growth geographically, and you said New Orleans and Baton Rouge are booming. Let's talk about the sectors, like the different categories of jobs where things are really going. Give us the highlights, the ones where you see the most growth.
Yeah, I mean, we can go as far down in the weeds as you want to go, so just let me know. I think, so there's the way that for people who, you know, maybe don't nerd out on economic data, what we call sectors or industries are just ways that the government classifies different businesses together. So one that you might hear a lot about is, you know, education and health services. Well, so there's a lot of different types of businesses that are in those categories, but that's a broad category that we talk about. So if we want to think about the New Orleans area, you know, where we're really seeing a lot of job growth is, you know, accommodation and food services, right? I mean, year over year, they're up 5%. Healthcare and social assistance is up almost 5%. When you dig a little bit deeper into the data, I mean, a lot of what it looks like in New Orleans is a rebound in tourist activity.
Right.
Because we're seeing it in restaurant employment is up, hotel and motel employment is up, employment in industries that support hotels and motels through janitorial services and other services, those are way up. So it looks like to me, just looking at the numbers, that, you know, that the tourism industry has really made a strong rebound in the last 12 months.
And now what struck me was that you show a big increase in the number of construction jobs in Baton Rouge, but not necessarily New Orleans. In fact, there was a loss of jobs in another market that the Baton Rouge numbers made up for the overall net growth. Why Baton Rouge versus us?
Yeah, it's a good question. So this is a case where, you know, I spend some time sitting in an office looking at numbers, and I don't have time to always pound the street and figure out what's going on.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of it are jobs related in the petrochem industry, where we're starting to see some construction activity take place. And so the Baton Rouge area gained about 9,000 construction jobs. Statewide, we gained about 8,000, which means we had some losses somewhere else. But, you know, the construction jobs are also, they tend to be temporary. Those numbers do bounce around a lot. So you'll just have periods, and this would make sense, you know, in the winter time, construction's a little bit slower. You don't see as many construction jobs. They tend to pick up a lot more in the summer. I think as far as the overall report, one of the things that I'm very favorable on with New Orleans, right, is you have the kind of two really big sectors, which is hospitality and healthcare. I mean, those two sectors alone, you know, are almost 150,000 jobs. And they grew at about a 5% clip last year, right? So you want to see kind of your, you know, the best player on your team performing well. And right. So you've got these two big pieces of New Orleans economy performing quite well.
Now, I was at an industry event a couple of days ago, and it was somebody going down a dangerous path and was comparing Louisiana to another southern state in some metrics and some, you know, economic metrics. And one of them was the average salary for a lot of the new jobs being created in the other state versus here. I'm guessing, obviously, a lot of these hospitality jobs are at hospitality job average salaries. What kind of information do you have from your report about the salaries, and any hope about our new job salaries rising?
Yeah, the salary numbers for the state, so I don't have the detailed information for the New Orleans area right now, but at the statewide year over year wage growth, average weekly wages were up about 5.5%. So that's good. I mean, it's outpacing inflation now. Inflation is down around 2.5%. So coming out of COVID in 2021, we were, you know, had inflation of 7-8%. Wages weren't that high. Now, I think nationally for the last 6 months, wage growth is outpacing inflation.
But that's nice to see those flipped, yeah.
It absolutely is, because it means we're starting to have some real income gains as well. And I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing people starting to dine out again, right? That's always one of the first things that people cut back on when prices start going up, is they eat more at home. And now we're seeing that starting to flip a little bit, where restaurant employment statewide is up. You know, just comparing us to other states, I mean, one thing to keep in mind is you also have to factor in cost of living. Right. So you can look only at wages, and you might say, well, you know, just take an extreme case of New York City. You may be better off in Baton Rouge. And of course, I'm making these numbers up, so I haven't, I can actually do the comparison. I just don't have it off the top of my head. But you could potentially be better off in Baton Rouge at a salary of $70,000 than you would be in New York at a salary of $120,000.
Right.
Because of cost of living. So, you know, generally around the South, the cost of living is going to be more comparable. But, you know, Louisiana is a relatively low cost of living state compared to even other places in the South.
One of the grumbles among my set here in New Orleans is that the increase in property tax and insurance And some of these other sort of invisible costs are starting to put strain on that, on that old maxim that, yeah, you know, we can get by down here for less than you can in the big cities up north.
You know, you're spot on. I think over the next couple of years, one of the things that really concerns me is the FEMA risk rating insurance changes and what that's going to mean. And, you know, I had looked at some of the numbers for Plaquemines Parish, I think. And when the ratings were released a couple of years ago, the average home insurance premium in Plaquemines Parish was somewhere, flood insurance premium, was somewhere around $900 a month. And according to the risk rating 2.0 system, FEMA says the rate should be over $5,000. Not 900 a month, 900 a year.
Yeah.
And they said it should go from 900 a year to about 5,300 a year.
Quintupled.
Which, you know, I don't know how people could afford to live there.
Well, right. And you
or
add
live there, or live there with insurance.
Yeah. You have to add that.
Right.
To-
and that creates a whole host of other problems.
Yep. I mean, the insurance it was a chamber event this week, and there was talking about the upcoming legislative session, and most of the talk was about insurance because that's the huge anxiety right now.
Well, I mean, even in Lafayette, I've been here 6 years. We've seen our homeowners insurance rate increase at much faster than nationally. And so that's obviously, if you're getting closer to the water and in an area where you're going to be a little bit more vulnerable to storms, I mean, I don't know what we do about that, but it's a significant problem.
So the people speaking at this event were lobbyists for business lobbyists, and they're hoping to go up to Baton Rouge during the legislative session and make some changes, tort reform type changes to change the legal environment to make it a little bit less scary for the insurance companies. So you got to take their comments with a grain of salt, but the general tone that they had during this event was that an insurer like Lloyd's of London isn't afraid of hurricanes necessarily. They know hurricanes. They insure people all throughout the world in the path of hurricanes. But it's Louisiana's sort of uncertain political and legal environment that's scaring them off right now. So if that's true, then some policy changes could have an impact. But I think it's also the hurricanes.
Yeah, I mean, I looked, and I don't have, again, I didn't know we were going this route. I'd have the numbers on the top of my head.
All right, yeah.
But I had looked at some FEMA data earlier this year about premiums in the area. And you can look and see, you know, 15 years ago, the average flood insurance premium, the average flood insurance claim was somewhere around $10,000. Now the average claim is substantially higher than that. And there's a higher frequency of claims. So, you know, I'm not a weather expert, but one of the issues that comes up is, you know, you can't just ignore actual risk. And so if the actual risk of hurricanes is higher now because of either climate change or for whatever reason, maybe it's, you know, the erosion of the coast where now there's not as much of a buffer. So all of a sudden, you know, a storm hits and it's going to cause more damage. Well, that's real risk. And we can't just make that go away. We can't just wish it away. And so, you know, it could be the case that, hey, it's just riskier to live here now than it was 25 years ago. And that's going to be costly.
Right.
It's not something that we like. But you can't legislate it away.
Right. Absolutely right.
I mean, it'd be great if we could.
So now I think I'm switching from podcast into therapy session, because the next question I'm going to ask you also resonates with me, which is, can you talk about what your report says about home price growth?
Yeah. So home price growth, I think, is going to be flat to perhaps even slightly negative over the next year. I'm not looking for a lot of movement with home prices. I guess so. That's kind of the dark cloud in the report. We're seeing, of course, as the Federal Reserve started to raise interest rates to fight inflation in 2021, we knew that was going to slow the housing market down, and it really has. Hopefully, that the Federal Reserve is likely to cut interest rates starting very soon, perhaps in May. So I think what we're going to, hopefully, we've seen the worst of the housing market. But I think one thing to keep in mind with that is, you know, if you owned a home in 2019, 2020, 2021, I mean, we saw once in a generation housing market in the state. I mean, you were seeing, you know, quarterly home price growth in Louisiana of 12%. And normally we're, you know, 4 to 5. So even if home prices, you know, fall a little bit year over year, you know, they're still going to be up above where it would historically have been. Right. So that's kind of the silver lining, is we might see a couple years where home price growth is relatively flat. But I think once we come out of this correction, you're still going to be in a better situation than had the run-up in home prices not occurred.
Well, that's good to hear. But now, I assume you look at home price growth as a metric of economic health, but home prices not growing can be a win for some people. Like, when you look at these numbers, who are the winners and losers when it comes to home prices not moving up anymore?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a buyer, right, it's a good situation. If you see home price growth not rising as much, I think it's hard to get a gauge on the housing market right now because inventory levels are still way below where they were pre-COVID. And actually, that's a blessing right now, because if inventory levels had been at normal amounts, we would have seen home price growth dip into the negative territory a long time ago. So one of the things that's actually helping the housing market prices right now is that inventory levels are still down.
Now, why is that? Why is that?
That's a great question. It's pretty much true all over the nation. So what happened the reason why we had the huge run-up is when COVID first hit in March of 2020, the number of homes that were listed for sale just decreased substantially all around the country. And so some markets just haven't recovered yet in terms of inventory getting back to normal. And we're one of those. I mean, there's not a single market in Louisiana where inventory levels are where they were before COVID.
Is it a situation where people are just waiting? They're sitting
in the market? I think that's a good question. I think some of what I think is likely going on is we had historically low mortgage rates, right? I mean, you're talking, I saw some numbers recently where I think 40% of mortgages are below 3 3⅛ nationwide. So those are pretty strong numbers, and people are just reluctant now when you see mortgage rates at 6.5. People don't want to move.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you've got a 3 1/8 mortgage and you look at a trade-off and think, well, I can exchange this for one that's 3 percentage points higher, people don't want to do that.
I think the only way it works is if you can sell your place and buy something with cash.
Yeah. I said this, I spoke at the New Orleans real estate group, NOMAR, last year. And one of the things I mentioned was, there's always winners and losers anytime something happens. And I said, when you think about the real estate market and the way it is, the people that are going to be winners now are the people who can afford to pay cash.
Right.
And if you're in one of those situations where you can put a large down payment down or convert something into cash, it could be a good market for you. I think what we're going to see nationwide, though, is I think interest rates over the next year are probably going to come down somewhere to below 6%, maybe even to 5.5%. I think for a lot of people, they think those numbers are still really high. But if you go back to 2000, which really, for you and I, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
Rates were over 7. So
weren't they in the teens at some point? Like in my,
well, if you go back to the early 80s.
80s, yeah. They
were, yeah, I mean, 80s. There were mortgage rates that peaked at 17%.
Oh.
So, for people, I wasn't in the housing market at that time, but for people who weren't and would remember it, I mean, they're going to think, 6% is a great deal.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you last two questions. Is there something that I missed that you haven't really gotten to talk about from your report that's worth sharing? My grasp of a lot of the numbers and granular details is not the best. So if I may have not guided us to something that you wanted to say.
No, I think you covered everything. I mean, I will say, for anybody who's listening and may want to subscribe to the report usually is not as rich in detail as what we're talking about here, mainly because I'm a one-person show, and doing something that's really extensive takes a lot of time. So I try to get the highlights. And then what happened is a lot of the facts that you were kind of pointing out have come out from people contacting me and say, hey, tell me a little bit more about these numbers and where they came from.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out ways of getting more detail into the report that wouldn't involve as much time. I'm always trying to figure out how to make it more valuable for people.
I feel like, don't you need an army of grad students to go do a bunch of grunt work for you?
I wish I had that. I don't. The one thing I do have is I teach a little bit less than the average person. So part of my responsibilities are, engaging with the public and kind of getting this information out and basically just being a resource.
Yeah, you're an ambassador for the school as well.
I try to do my best.
It kind of reminds me, I talked to Toni Weiss at Tulane the other day about her Mardi Gras economic impact report. And I thought the same thing. I figured she would have had an army of people working, and it's similar. If you guys have never talked, y'all need to connect and commiserate.
Yeah, I've seen her report. I need to, next time I'm in New Orleans, I should reach out to her.
She's great. She's awesome. Okay, so last question then is, at looking at your report and just your own two eyes and ears, what makes you worried about our state's economy in general? And then let's start with that and finish with what makes you feel optimistic?
Okay, so I think what makes me a little worried about the state economy in general is I think Louisiana's economy is not very dynamic compared to our peers. And so I'll just kind of point to two areas, which I've talked about before. You know, I think we, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, all regulations are bad, but I think we're a little too heavy-handed in the regulatory burden for businesses. And I also think tax compliance, you know, we're one of a few states where you have the sales taxes, if, you know, and you've got these zones within each parish and you've got sales tax rates that are all over the place. The total number in the state, I can't even figure out where to find it. And from a compliance standpoint, you know, if you're a retailer and you've got to keep track of all that information and you think, well, I can just go to Texas and I don't have to do that.
Right.
And I think one of the things that's really hurt us is the way I would describe it is when the oil and gas industry was really booming in the Gulf, it made a lot of our fundamental problems in the economy not appear so bad because we had something that kind of masked what was going on. You know, since the transition to fracking, which has pivoted a lot of the oil and gas activity away from the Gulf and towards Texas, it's basically ripped the Band-Aid off. And now all of our problems are getting exposed. And these are long-running problems in the state. You know, we need fundamental tax reform. We need fundamental regulatory reform to just make us more competitive so that we can allow individuals and businesses to prosper. So that's what I worry about in the state.
And then, now, before we go to the optimistic, I just want to say that how much what you just said mirrors a lot of what I hear from industry folks, you know, every year saying if we can just at least get some of our legal, you know, some of our legal policy and our tax policy in line with other states.
Yes.
We're not trying to do anything to cover new ground. We're just trying to catch up with some of the other southern neighbors. And I guess the problem is that you have powerful interests that every year when you're trying to do this, they say no, but that's
yeah. I mean, under any system, there's going to be groups that benefit.
Yeah.
Right. So, but a lot of the issues in Louisiana, I think this is a plus and a minus. A lot of the negative issues are statewide because the state economy is pretty centralized compared to a lot of other states. So the municipalities and parishes don't have as much authority as some other states, which means all you've got to do is make a change in Baton Rouge. Right. And you can have an effect statewide, but those are challenging things to do. But, you know, let me just throw these numbers out as potential motivation for people to think about kind of the greater good. So if you take the 10-year period before COVID, so look at 2010 to 2020, there were two states whose economies shrank over that 10-year period, Wyoming and Louisiana. Louisiana's economy contracted 3%. 48 states saw their economies grow over that period. Texas grew 40%. Mm. So in a decade, Texas grew 40% and we shrank 3%. So even if you just, you know, take a really basic way of thinking about it and you say, hey, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but maybe we should do something different because what we're doing is not working, right? We're seeing that too without migration, right? I'm sure you've heard about, you know, some of the out-migration numbers. I actually calculated some of those numbers that were, you know, reported by LPB. You know, if you go back to 2000, we've lost 280,000 people in this state. So they're voting with their feet. Hmm.
As far as the shrinking of the economy, is that one of those things that Baton Rouge can address through changes in regulation and taxes?
Yes.
Or is that... you know, just the result of the fortunes of the oil industry, the shift to fracking and our increased exposure to extreme weather. I mean, the out-migration is a factor in the shrinking economy. You lose the people, you lose the size of the economy.
Yeah. Well, if you take places like Florida, right? Florida and Texas are two places that saw really massive growth over the same period. Well, Florida has hurricane risks, right? Texas has hurricane risks. I mean, I think a lot of it in our state is just this, as a public university employee, I've worked at 5 other universities. The paperwork that I have to go through to do anything is just mind-blowing to me, right? You need 12 signatures to do these things. And I look at it and think, you've got to find ways, right? We have, here's how I'll segue into what I think is good. Right? So because I think one of the things that the state has that's so unique that we should try to capitalize more on, right? There's a great cultural environment. Everybody has heard of, you know, New Orleans and Mardi Gras and Cajun country. And so we should be attracting a lot of people that we're not. And I think the reason why we're not attracting them is we're not a place where smart, talented people can come and create something out of nothing. We make it much more difficult to do that than it is to say, go to Austin. And there's no reason that has to be true, right? New Orleans is a great place. Everybody knows about it. We have to find ways of allowing and attracting talented people to come and our talent to stay, not just come, but also stay, and find ways of just saying, hey, you want to create something. Why don't you create it here instead of taking your talent and going somewhere else? And that's why I worry so much about the migration issues is, you know, I think the greatest resource for all of us are other people. And when we start taking other people and moving them away, that means we're doing less for each other here, right? So we're not going to use your talents and do something here. You're going to take your talents to Colorado and do it there.
Right. Yeah. The out migration, I think is along with insurance, that's the great hand-wringing anxiety right now when I talk to people in these business contexts.
Yeah.
Brain drain. Wait, we didn't say anything positive really. Oh yeah. You said,
I think so. Yeah. I think what we can leverage compared to other places in the South, right? Is, I mean, if you look at where people are moving, they're moving from the Midwest, the Northeast, mainly to the South and also the Southwest, you know, so why aren't we a lot more attractive than, say, Montgomery, Alabama? I mean, we have great weather. I think there's also great culture here, right? A lot of activities. I mean, if you think about music, events, I mean, there's always something going on in Lafayette. There's always something going on in New Orleans. And I think, so I just wonder, why haven't we leveraged that more? And how do we leverage that more? Because I think that's a great piece of Louisiana that, say, you know, doesn't exist in Cincinnati, Ohio. If somebody says, what do you know about Cincinnati, Ohio? They might say the Bengals.
Right.
Right. You say New Orleans and people are immediately thinking of a lot of different things that are all very positive and fun. And
there's only one other thing I know about Cincinnati, which is the chili on the spaghetti.
Okay. Well, most people don't even know about Cincinnati chili, but I don't bring it up because I actually don't like it at all. But
I was gonna say, that's another reason to come here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's, I use that as a case where I was living in Cincinnati before moving here.
Oh, wow.
And I just think if you mention Cincinnati to somebody just randomly, you know, anywhere around the country and say, what do you know about Cincinnati? It's probably nothing. But if you say, you know, what do you know about Louisiana? They're going to say Mardi Gras. They're going to say Cajuns. They're going to say Creole, right? I mean, talk about food.
Birthplace of jazz.
Yeah. So the thing is, what places struggle with from an economic development perspective is lacking an identity.
Right.
We don't lack the identity. We lack kind of all the other things that are going to let the identity flourish.
Well, you're not kidding. We got a brand. We got a brand of all brands.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. We have a brand.
Yeah. All right.
I just think we need to get the other pieces in place that'll let that brand really just take off.
Nice. Gary Wagner, economist at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Thanks for your report, your extensive report, and thanks for explaining it to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening. BizTalks is brought to you by Biz New Orleans Magazine. Follow us on social media at Biz New Orleans and visit bizneworleans.com for daily news and stories.